Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to...
Hello, everybody. God bless you today. This is Susan Puzio, and I want to welcome you to the Prophetic News Radio broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. And also, we are on Rapture Ready Radio on Blog Talk Radio. So I want to give a big hello to all my new listeners out there. Well, it's getting interesting for us that are interested in politics and in what's happening in the world today. So many mixed messages, and I'll tell you, I have a few internet news sites that I like to go to. I do like news, but I like to look at facts, not gossip, and I like good journalism. Good reporting. That's what we try to do on this program, is we try to report facts and what's truth, because it's very important that we know the truth of what's really going on. So a few news sites that I would recommend is Breitbart News, the Gateway Pundit. I like Got News and the Drudge Report. So there's some interesting news out there, and you can see some really fascinating things that go on behind the scenes, actually, in some of these political campaigns. But it'll be interesting to see how it all turns out and how God directs the future of the country that we live in, because we do have a good country. We enjoy many freedoms. We do have a pretty good standard of living, although we know that about 90 million or more people are actually out of work in this country. And so when you have a population of, I think, over 300 million, I don't know the exact population of this country, but there's something wrong. When you have that many people out of work, you're not living in a real good economy. And also, for people that don't know, since the advent of Obamacare, and I don't really want to pay for your health care. I think you should pay for your own health care. I can't be responsible for other people's families, and it isn't fair to make people responsible for your family. You have a free will and you have a choice. When you grow up, and you're old enough to know right from wrong whether you want to have children, whether you want to get married. And those are all your decisions that you make. So don't expect then somebody to pay for your decisions. We live in a church culture and a worldly culture where everybody expects privileges. They want the government to do everything for them. They want to live their lives as they choose, and then they want the government to help them pay for things, which when the government helps you pay for things, it comes from taxes. So they don't just take money out of the sky and say, we're just going to be generous here today. And no, they have taxes. Now, I had two elderly parents in their 80s, and they worked all their lives. They worked hard all their lives, and they had Medicare, and then they had a supplemental insurance that paid for the rest, and their deductible was $600. Okay, that's fair for two elderly people that are living on Social Security and small pensions. So why then the advent of Obamacare did their deductible go up to $3,400. Now, is that fair for two senior citizens living on a fixed income to have to pay for somebody else's health care, and they don't even have the option? Nobody asked them if they wanted to pay for somebody else's health care. It's just done to them. So ask, you can ask senior citizens what they think about the fact that thousands of dollars are being taken away from them to pay for these entitlement programs. So the government can promise you anything, and somebody has to pay. And we as Christians, we have to learn how to pay for ourselves. So anyway, I'm getting a message here in the chat room that I'm not getting anything, so I want to know if I'm on the air here. So just bear with me for a moment. And let me see. It's not getting anything. If the program is actually on, because I know Blog Talk Radio was having some issues today. And we'll see if he answers, and let me see if he can hear me. Just hold on a minute. He's typing. No, he's not hearing me. So anyway, let me check on my end and make sure that we are broadcasting. Let me check here. Just bear with me while I check my sound myself. And we'll see. So I know that they were having issues this morning. And if we're not going out on the air, I want to know about it, right? So let me check here. And I'll see if I can hear myself when I go to my program. So we'll see here. I'm just waiting for it to come up. My computer is in slow-mo. Slow-mo, you know, we expect everything to be done quickly, right, on computers, but okay, I can hear it. So, yes, I am on the air. Anyway, but let's be people that take responsibility for our actions, and we let other people see that we take responsibility, and we don't try to lay our burdens on other people, because we have, all of us have burdens. And this is the way I feel about things. If God can't speak to people, and I know God speaks to people. I know he does. He speaks to me. So if God can't speak to people concerning you, then why should I have to tell people what I need? I expect that when I pray, when I tell God what I need, that he meets my needs. And if somebody else is supposed to do something for me, then God is perfectly able to speak to people on my behalf. And that's the way it should be for you. But we have too many people that they want other people to help them pay their bills, and they won't work, and they're irresponsible. They go into debt to get things, and then they want somebody else to help them out of their mess. Well, it's time for us to raise up and set a standard for the church world and for the world to see that Christians are people of integrity, that we work hard, we provide for our own. Because the Bible says now that if a man doesn't provide for his own household, he's worse than an infidel. So those are pretty strong words right there, aren't they? But yet today we have a government that they're promising, okay, everybody, you have to have health care, and then you have to pay for somebody else's health care, and then you have to pay for somebody to go to college. Well, a lot of people today that have college degrees can't even get a job because, yeah, 90 million people are out of work, so they're going to give more people college degrees, and then where are they going to get the jobs from? You notice that when you call helplines or you call insurance companies, or you're talking to somebody. Yesterday I called a very well-known company that just sold out to some other company, and I'm talking to somebody in San Juan. I used to talk to people in America. So the jobs are being outsourced, and eventually now they're talking about having robots working. So you've got to find a way, whether you have a college degree or not, to earn an income. And sometimes you might have to make your own job, because there'll always be jobs doing housework, caring for the elderly, caring for people's children, lawn mowing, helping the elderly with grocery shopping, or painting, or there's all kinds of things people can do to earn a living. So you can be creative, and if you don't can't find a job, you can make one. Trust me, there's always somebody that needs something. So we shouldn't have any problems really being unemployed, and we can ask God to give us ideas and show us things to do. Anyway, we're going to talk today about spiritual abuse. Now, many of us that have grown up in the church or have been a Christian, now I've been a Christian since 1981, so I've been around for a little while, but I don't claim to know everything, and I'm still working out my salvation, as we all are. So, but many of us have been in spiritually abusive churches, haven't we? We've seen spiritual abuse firsthand, and it is a big problem. It's a really big problem today in the church world, spiritual abuse. I was shocked the other day. Somebody posted something on Facebook, and let me get it for you, because this was very, very shocking. I couldn't even watch the whole video because it upset me so much. It's on a channel called the Christian Comedy Channel. Now, I don't know anything about this channel, so I'm not making any endorsements, but there was a video on there about, I think, the 10 most abusive pastors. Now, be warned, because this video is, it's beyond anything you've ever seen, trust me. I have never seen these type of things. There was 10 pastors. There was one pastor from Africa. Let me get you his name. Bishop Daniel Obinim. I think it's O-B-I-N-I-M. Anyway, if you go to YouTube and you can put Bishop Daniel kicks woman in stomach, and you can probably bring up this video. Really, it brought me to tears, some of the things I was seeing, because God does not like people to take advantage of his children. Just like any mother or any father, you don't like anybody doing anything to your kids unfairly. So here's this man that calls himself a pastor, and he's very well dressed. Of course, he's the bishop of the church, and he has on these little velvet slippers, very expensive shoes he has on. And there's a lady sitting in the front row, a young lady, and she's pregnant. And he takes his foot and he's kicking her in the stomach.
Yeah.
In front of the his so-called congregation there. And she's letting him do it, and he's kicking her in the stomach. And then she's bowing down to him. You can't believe what you're seeing. You can't believe what you're seeing. Why anyone would subject themselves to this type of abuse in a church is beyond me. What could a woman possibly be thinking that's pregnant with a baby, and then she lets somebody kick her in the stomach? Unbelievable. It was unbelievable. And then there's, and I'll play some audio of this in a few minutes, but there was another pastor, Pastor Lesepo or Lesego Daniel, L-E-S-E-G-O, I think, Daniel. And you can find some of his videos, too, on YouTube. But now, this was shocking. I have never seen anything like this, And he has a bottle, in a plastic bottle, he's standing up in front of the people. Now, he's a hypnotist, or he's some kind of a high witch, trust me, a warlock, he really is. And he has a bottle of gasoline. They call it petrol in Africa. Anyway, he has this bottle of gasoline, and he puts some on his fingers, and then he licks his fingers. So then he's telling the people they can drink any deadly thing and it's not going to hurt them. So he tells people to come up and drink some of the gasoline out of the bottle. And you'll see some of the people, the women especially, come up and they're writhing like snakes as they're coming up. And you'd be surprised at how many people started coming up and drinking the gasoline. They were actually doing it. They were doing it. And this is a form of hypnotism, and it was also something that we saw back in the day when they used to call it. There's a Holy Ghost bartender, Rodney Howard Brown, and people were going to these so-called revivals, and I have been to those myself. I've seen it firsthand. When Rodney Howard Brown came to a church I was at in 1993, and the worship leader was on the floor writhing like a snake. Nice, very nice lady. And, you know, people were claiming it was the Holy Ghost. And then also a pastor friend of mine was on all fours, like a dog, laughing. And he could do that to people too. He could make them act crazy. And a lot of these people after the aftermath of the Rodney Howard Brown so-called revival was many of the churches closed down. Many of the pastors gave up being pastors. A lot of people had nervous breakdowns from being hypnotized by Rodney. And he was a very good hypnotist. He's a very good hypnotist. He's still at it. He still has a church in Tampa, Florida, but he knows exactly what he's doing. And it was amazing how deceived people were for many years buying into this thing that they thought was God. But God in no way would humiliate people by making them bark or writhe like snakes or drink gasoline. And even this pastor, he calls himself a pastor, but he's a wolf of the worst kind, this Lesego Daniel. He actually told the people that they had to eat grass. And this was some kind of special food from heaven, he told them. Now, he looked like he had a pretty good-sized congregation. You'll see a little bit of the size of his congregation on these videos. And he uses some kind of form of hypnotism. I'm not sure what it is. But he had people coming up, and they were, again, jerking and writhing like snakes as they were walking up totally out of their minds. They really looked like a bunch of crazy people. And he tells them that they have to go outside of the building and lay down on the ground and start eating grass. And you'll see there's many of them, maybe over 100 people started running out of the church building and lying on the grass, pulling the grass up, and they were eating it. Yes, they were eating it. Children, grown men and women. It was awful, just awful. The depravity of human beings that do these kinds of things in the name of God and in the name of Jesus, I say woe be unto them, really. Woe be unto them. I wouldn't want to stand before God and be them. What are they doing? What are they trying to do to people? And it reminds me of a man, some of you might remember this, it happened in the 1970s, this man, Jim Jones. And Jim Jones originally called himself a pastor, and he did social work, and he was feeding the poor, and he was doing all these good deeds out in California. And yet he would tell his congregation that he was God. And he would make them call him Father. And he was divine. And in the end, he had over 1,000 people sell all their possessions. They sold their homes. Don't ever let anybody tell you to sell your house and give it to a ministry. No, don't let people tell you that. Don't let a pastor tell you to mortgage your house and to borrow money on your credit cards to give them offerings. Don't let them do that to you. And because you could sell your house, like a friend of mine did one time. He gave his house to Morris Cirillo, and Morris Cirillo didn't need his house. He was a man with 3 children and a wife, and he wound up living in a studio apartment for the longest time. And Morris Cirillo didn't give a hoot about him. So don't let people tell you to give your house, your car, or whatever that you need for your family, unless, you know, 100% you know it's God. You better know it's God, because and God doesn't need any human being to tell you that God told me either, because if God's going to tell you to do something, he's going to tell you yourself at home in your kitchen or in your living room. He doesn't need anybody else to be telling you to give them things. So this Jim Jones, he had all these people sell all their property and their houses and move to a place, Guyana, into some jungle. He moved all these people to a jungle far away, and he had them working like slaves there. And they were helping to build these buildings, and they were living in these dormitories, and they didn't have running water for a long time. And it was awful. It was just living in this jungle. But they were doing it for Jim Jones. But in the end, this man, he was a drug addict and he was a pervert. He asked the people to drink Kool-Aid. And he told them that the Kool-Aid had cyanide in it and that he wanted them to kill themselves and their children. And they did it. They did it. You can see the videos on YouTube of the Jonestown Massacre, it's called, and Jim Jones, for you that don't know this story. It was horrible, but it was a classic case of spiritual abuse. And many of these so-called pastors practiced some subtle forms of spiritual abuse. Every Sunday when they have people come to their buildings, and they do nothing but fleece them for money to support their vision. And the first lady and the first children, look, if your pastor is into that foolishness where you have to call his wife, You can't call her Joan or Mary or Sue. You have to call her First Lady. It's time to leave that place, because I think it's in the book of Job where it says, don't give flattering titles to men. So we're not supposed to be giving people titles and them demanding that we show them respect because they're a pastor. Pastors are just as flaky as you are in many cases. So they need God every day in their life too and need his mercy. They have a Bible. You have a Bible. Maybe they spend a few more hours reading their Bible. They might know a little bit more and they're able to teach you some things, but you have a Bible too. So you can learn some things from your Bible too. So don't be totally dependent on the pastor to teach you everything you need to know about God. We're responsible for our own lives before God. So anyway, don't let these charlatans, and I call them charlatans because that's what they are. They have no love for the sheep. Let's look at a couple of scriptures, and then I'm going to play some audio for you. Jeremiah 2:8, the priest said not, where is the Lord? And they that handle the law knew me not. The pastors also transgressed against me, and the prophets prophesied by Baal, and walked after things that do not profit. Jeremiah 3:15, and I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. Jeremiah 10:21, for the pastors are become brutish and have not sought the Lord. Therefore they shall not prosper, and all their flocks shall be scattered. Jeremiah 12:10, many pastors have destroyed my vineyard. They have trodden my portion underfoot. They have made my pleasant portion a desolate wilderness. Jeremiah 22:22, the wind shall eat up all thy pastors, and thy lovers shall go into captivity. Surely then shalt thou be ashamed and confounded for all thy wickedness. Jeremiah 23:1, woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. Jeremiah 23:2, therefore thus saith the Lord God of Israel, against the pastors that feed my people, ye have scattered my flock and driven them away and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doings, saith the Lord. So God doesn't take it lightly. He doesn't take spiritual abuse lightly. He doesn't look kindly upon these leaders that abuse people, especially in his name. After Jesus Christ died on the cross, and these people want to abuse people in the name of Jesus to earn a living, be what it is. But also, let's look at Ezekiel 34:2-4. Woe be unto the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Shepherds, should not the shepherds feed the flocks? Ye eat the fat, and ye clothe you with the wool. Ye kill them that are fed, but ye feed not the flock. With force and with cruelty have ye ruled them. And there's many forms of spiritual abuse in the church today. We see that one scripture that people like to use is, touch not God's anointed. Well, we're all anointed. And after all, there's really only one truly anointed one, and that's Jesus. But everybody that's born again is filled with the Spirit of God. And so we all have his anointing, but it's his anointing. What do we have? We're just humans. So we don't have any special powers from God. Everything, every good gift comes from God. And what God was talking about when he used the word touch, the word touch means physical touching. It doesn't mean saying. If God wanted to say that in that instance, that we're not supposed to say anything about these anointed men of God. You're just supposed to let them do anything they want to people, and you're not supposed to cry out about it. I don't think so. God doesn't think we're stupid. But touch means to actually lay a hand on. So they like to use that scripture about David didn't touch Saul. Well, he didn't kill Saul. That's what that was. It wasn't that David thought that Saul was such a perfect person, but he had an opportunity to kill Saul, but he didn't. And that's what that scripture talks about. If you look in Samuel, 1 Samuel 24, Samuel 26, 2 Samuel 1, you can read that for yourself. That's what the story is. It has nothing about talking about false teachers exposing their wickedness. That's a form of manipulation right there, is when if there's a pastor or a church you're going to or a ministry that you're following, and they tell you that you can't ever point out any of our heresies, and you can't ever point out any of our Bible teachings that we're not teaching the truth. If anybody thinks they know everything, well, there's automatically something wrong there, because nobody knows everything. The only person that knows everything is God. And if a spiritual leader can't admit that they're wrong, or they won't go and look at the scripture for themselves and say, well, look, let me go look at that. And if I'm wrong, then I will admit that I'm wrong. But if you're going to a church where the pastor or whoever is leading the group doesn't want to admit that they've made a mistake, then you're in the wrong place. You're in the wrong place. But here's somebody posted this article about 10 traits of spiritually abusive ministries. And all of us have experienced this, I'm sure. They have a distorted view of respect. They demand that you respect them. And even if they're committing adultery, even if they're robbing the people, you must respect them because they're a spiritual leader. Well, the Bible doesn't teach that. It says, demand allegiance as proof of the follower's allegiance to Christ. So they demand that you're loyal to them under all circumstances. Well, I don't think so. They use exclusive language. They say, we're the only ones that have the truth. It's like Jimmy Swaggart's ministry, for example. He says, we're the only ones that are teaching the cross. Well, Jimmy Swaggart doesn't have all the truth, and a lot of the things he teaches aren't scriptural either. And so whenever anyone's so exclusive that we know it all and everybody else doesn't know it like we know it, so you must follow us. Well, that's cultish right there. It also says they create a culture of fear and shame where they will try to shame you, especially if you try to point out any type of error that's going on. They will shun you, and they will ask the other people in the church not to talk to you. You could be going to a church for years, and then you realize something's wrong with the doctrine there, so you try to point it out, and then all of a sudden everybody shuns you. Nobody wants to talk to you anymore. It's like you have leprosy or something. But often, number five says, often have a charismatic leader at the helm who starts off well but slips into arrogance, protectionism, and pride. I was in a church one time, and I was a young Christian, and I wanted to bring in a person I knew from out of town, and he wanted to come and he wanted to hold a healing service and rent this little hall, and he was going to come and we were going to pray for the sick. And so I invited him and we got everything ready, and I started inviting the people from my church. Well, the pastor and his wife, they were furious. They were furious because they said, how come you didn't get our permission? Well, I didn't know that I needed anybody's, I didn't know I needed their permission to invite people to a healing service. I wasn't trying to start my own church or take people. They say, they usually, and when they say, these are our people, well, they're not your people, because the people belong to the Lord. Nobody owns the people that go to church. And I'm thinking to myself, yikes. I mean, they called they had me come in and sit down, and they had some of their so-called elders there, and they were berating me that I wanted to have an evangelistic meeting in my town, and I wanted people to get saved, and I wanted them to get healed, and they were mad. And I was thinking to myself, now, I was a young Christian. I was only about a two-year-old Christian, and I'm thinking to myself, wow, how come they're telling me that it's so important to lead people to the Lord and to pray for people, and yet they're mad at me because I want to pray for people? I was confused. I'm saying to myself, I know I'm not doing anything wrong. I'm trying to do something for the Lord, and they're angry, but needless to say, I didn't stay in that place long. I know I've talked about this before, where one time I went over there on a Sunday morning, and the pastor's wife, she comes up to me. She hands me this book, and on the cover of the book, there's a puppet on a string. And I'm thinking to myself, wow, there's something wrong with this picture, because I know what I was unsaved for 30 years of my life, so I knew what it was to be unsaved. I was a teenager unsaved. I was a young adult unsaved. So I knew a lot about what it meant to be unsaved, and I knew that I didn't want to go back into bondage. I certainly didn't want to be a puppet on a string to my spiritual leaders. I had enough sense to know that, so I ran for my life from that place. Here they say, six, cultivate a dependence on one leader or leaders for spiritual information. Yeah, they always want you to come to them for spiritual guidance. They don't ever really want to teach you. When we're first born again, yes, we're like children. We have to drink the milk, and then we get the meat, and we have to grow up in the things of the Lord. But they never want you to mature. They want you to stay children so they can manipulate you. But, of course, then it's your responsibility to grow yourself up in the things of God. Number seven, demand blind servitude of their followers, but they live prestigious, privileged lives. Don't we see that one, right? Don't we see that one? Remember some of those TV programs, Preachers of L.A. and Preachers of Atlanta and Preachers of who knows where, and the preachers were living off the fat. Now, most of these men were not college educated, as far as they didn't have professions where they were making a lot of money on their own. No, their profession was preaching, and then their profession was fleecing, and then they were the head. Remember Amway and these multi-level marketing programs? Well, they could, the only person that ever made money in the multi-level marketing program was the head person. The people at the top were the ones that were making all the money. The people at the bottom weren't. So it's the same thing in the church. The pastor is collecting 10%. Who wouldn't live good? Wow, I'd be living great if I had 10% from five people even. But they have 10% from 100, 1,000, 5,000, 10,000. Who knows how many people are giving them 10% plus all the other offerings they take. And then they buy mansions, they buy Bentleys, they buy Rolexes, they buy jets. And then they tell you, look, you can live like us. You can live like us. Just give us 10%. Well, you can't. No. Not unless you start a church and you're like them. Then you can live like them. But the only way that you can have a good lifestyle is that you work. Maybe you start a business and you're successful in business. But there's many ways that you can earn a good living and you can obtain whatever kind of wealth you want, really. The sky's the limit for what you want to do if you work hard. So that's the only way that you're going to accumulate wealth, is you work hard, you pay your bills, you do what's right, and you don't scam people. Because who would want to stand before the Lord one day and he says, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. It's just not worth it. What does it profit a man to gain the whole world and to lose his own soul? It's just not worth it. Let's be content with what we have. And thank God for the many blessings that he's given us. A roof over our heads, a car to drive if we have a car, a job if we have a job, a healthy family, and food to eat. Running water, what a wonderful thing, amen. So we have so much to be thankful for. Here it says also, number 8, buffered him or himself from criticism by placing people around themselves whose only allegiance is to the leader. And that's another fault, is if you won't have anybody around you that tells you, can tell you you're doing something wrong. And even if people do tell these people they're doing something wrong, it makes them angry. They get angry, and then they want revenge. They'll do anything, some of these people, to get rid of their critics. Yes, they'll do just about anything. But there's one person who knows everything they're doing, but yet they're not afraid of that person, and that's God. Number 9, hold to outward performance, but they reject authentic spirituality. It says they place a burden on their followers to act a certain way, dress a certain way, and yet they demonstrate greed and uncontrolled addictions behind closed doors. That's true, because most people who have, if they're not honest about money and with money issues, if they lie to their congregants, especially these so-called ministers, if they would lie and manipulate people just to line their pockets, they also have other issues. Usually they're on drugs, or they're into pornography, or they're committing adultery. They have many, many issues because they don't have integrity. So if they're bad enough to lie on God to enrich themselves, then there's no telling what kind of lives they'll be living behind the scenes. So they also, it says, also they use exclusivity for allegiance. That we already talked about that, is that they, we're the only ones that have the truth. Well, the only person that has the truth is Jesus Christ, and we get the truth from his word. And if it doesn't line up with the word of God, then we don't need it. We don't want it. We shouldn't accept it. So it's important for anybody that's listening, if you have any questions about the church you're going to, that you take out your Bible and you read your Bible. And if the things they're teaching don't line up with us, saith the Lord, then you know that you better get out of there. You know that you better run from that place, because it could be very, very damaging to you and to your walk with the Lord. And I hear people saying this, that, well, they know people that backslid because of some preacher, but that is no reason to backslide, because it has nothing to do with Jesus, because some preacher didn't treat you right. There's one person that treated you pretty good when they gave their life for you. So don't ever think about leaving your faith or leaving your walk with the Lord because of what some preacher did. It's just ridiculous. It's up to us to have enough sense to get away from these situations. And a lot of people stay with these ministries because they earn a living. Where are they going to earn $25,000 or $30,000 a year, or $50,000, or whatever they're making at some of these ministries? Most jobs don't pay that well, so they don't want to leave their jobs at these ministries because they're being well paid. So then they compromise. But it's better to have a different job where you don't have to compromise your principles and you don't have to compromise your walk with the Lord. It's much better to lay your head on the pillow at night and to have a conscience that's free and clear, and to know that you haven't coveted your neighbor's goods, you haven't done anything that day or at any time to hurt another person just to get your needs met. I'd rather have peace in my life. I can go to sleep at night and I don't have a guilty conscience about what I did to somebody else just to get what I wanted. I know that God said he would meet my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And I trust him. I trust him to do that. And so we have to trust God to help us. If we can't trust God, then we're in trouble. But it's a walk of faith that we have to learn. And once we can rest and we enter into his rest, there's nothing like having that peace and that rest. But anyway, I want to play a couple of these audio clips, and you'll be surprised. I'm going to play this one first of the gasoline of the person that the pastor that was telling the people to drink gasoline. Now, I know someone was having trouble hearing. I was in the Firefox browser. Maybe you had trouble hearing it on Internet Explorer, but I was in Firefox and the program played fine. I went over and checked the sound and the sound was fine. So if you can't hear, then try a different browser. Anyway, let me play this from the pastor that told people to drink gasoline.
Packed to capacity. They're here to receive the word from the man they affectionately call man of God. Pastor Lisiho Dana is known to instruct his followers to eat grass and send them into what appears to be states of hypnosis.
I believe I'm in trouble because of you. And the trouble makes me to rise high because of you.
But the media reports and criticism haven't deterred his followers. Despite public criticism, Coroners believe Pastor Lisiho Dana is indeed a man of God, and as long as they continue to see the fruits of his message in their lives, they say they will continue flocking here every Sunday. Sigelelegea, Mount Rabeni, Pretoria.
Like I said, that audio and video is available on YouTube. And you can see it for yourself. You see the people drinking the gasoline. And that's Pastor Lesego, L-E-S for Sam, E-G-O, Daniel. And even if you put in probably Pastor Gets People to Drink Gasoline, it'll come up. You'll be shocked. You'll be absolutely shocked, and you'll say to yourself, what in the world is going on? So, anyway, let me play here. This is a clip from Jim Jones, and I talked to you a little bit about Jim Jones before, but you'll hear him tell the people here that he's God.
My, do you need to ask why they do that to me? They that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. They shall revile you. They shall say all manner of things falsely against you. They shall do unto them everything that they wish to do, and even kill you, thinking they do God a service. And if you're not getting persecution, you're not living godly. So I have my credentials. What about you? If you're not getting persecution, you ought to ask why. Because when you live for truth, you'll be persecuted. And if you're not getting persecuted, you're not living the just life. You're not in the body of Christ, the body of this revolution. Be sure to teach people how to live, to get their head out of the sand or out of the sky. He said, don't pray to go to heaven. And even Paul said, don't look up to go to heaven. He said, the righteous faith saith on this wise, the word, heaven, God, is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thine heart. Don't say who will go up to heaven and bring him down, or who shall go into the deep and bring him up from the grave. But what saith it? The word is within thee. Heaven is on earth. That's the only heaven you'll find. God is here. That's the only God you'll know. All of you are gods. He said, I'm no different than you. Everybody's a god. So Jesus is God, I am God, you are God. I will, but all the king's horses and all the king's men cannot bring me down until the time has come. Listen, all ye scoffers and poisoners, we're feeling good in the house of Jones today.
One caused or tried to harm the church, I would kill the president or stake my life upon this church or to protect the pastor.
Violent revolutionary, and I killed 3 children.
Your name?
Corrine Jackson. I would kill any government official that would stand in the way of our church progress.
Your name?
I'm not.
My, do you need to ask why they...
You heard it for yourself. Those audios are also available on YouTube. Did you hear the lady said she would kill any government official that would say anything against her church? And we had this kind of teaching going around a few years ago in charismatic circles where people were saying they are little gods. And you can see what it leads to. It doesn't have a good end. And when anyone tries to tell you that they're a little God and we're going to do greater works than Jesus, that teaching went around for many years that we're going to do greater works than Jesus ever did. Well, who can do greater works than Jesus ever did? What human being can do what Jesus did? Whatever we do in his name. And we realize that he is the one doing the works. It's not any human being with any special anointing. Now, here's another famous person from the past, and his name was Gene Scott. He had a church, I think his church was in California, and his wife, he passed away, and his wife is a pastor. She's a strange person. And anyway, here he is. He used to have a television program where he cursed and he smoked a pipe, and he had people that followed him, actually. But anyway, here's how he abused people, some audio from him abusing people to get offerings.
board. Here's 2,400, 540, 120, 1,200, 240, 180, $2,400, $600, $600, $3,600, $480, $3,600, $240, $2,820, $600, $3,600, $360, $250, $250, $3,000, on it goes, $2,000, $1,200, $2,100, $12,000, $6,000, $1,200, I'm going to turn the read, I'm going to want you to keep calling, the phones are jammed up again, don't stop, we're going to play a statesman again.
So close to victory that something I had in my hand would give it. You carnal Christians. When it gets close to victory, we'll duck out. God brings it so close that those that couldn't give a thousand could be the ones that bring it over, that can sit there glued to your chair. And why, if I were married to either one of you, I'd get up and kick both of you. If you got somebody sleeping, go jump in the middle of their gut. This is war! We ought never to bomb down. Come on, Joe, I won't hit you. We ought never to bomb down. Got 400 to go. Why didn't you do it earlier? I don't care what Gene Scott looks like. God's honor's at stake. God.
Oh,
<geez.
laughs> Just when you thought you heard it all, right? Oh, my word. You're just going to tell people to go kick somebody in the stomach, and you better get out of that chair and go to that phone and give me that $600. I need that $600. You better hang it up. That's Gene Scott. Now here we have. Let's listen to the abusive Paula White. Now, Paula White, who obviously is a cult leader in her own right. She has grown men. Now, she has grown men in her church, and they call her mother. Yeah, they call Paul the mother. Well, my Bible says that, let's see, I had a mother. She was my mother. And it says that don't call any man father, so we're not supposed to call ministers father. So I don't think that grown men in the church are supposed to call the so-called pastor of the church mother. And yet, you'll hear her, one of her associates there, and his name is Duma, and it was at some kind of a gathering they had there a year or two ago where they were giving her, they were honoring her. Now, notice that abusive pastors, they love to have these pastor appreciation days. And the only thing a pastor appreciation day is a day for you to bring gifts to the pastor. You have to bring gifts to the pastor on that day. They have their birthday. They have holidays. They have every Sunday when they take your 10%, you're giving them gifts. But yet, they want a special day of the year called Pastor Appreciation Day, and you have to bring gifts to them on that day. Wouldn't you like a day like that? Well, I would love a day like that. Except they never do it for us, right? Okay, so now you're going to hear this grown man named Duma at Paula White's church, and he refers to Paula as mother, and she's the divine mother. Notice, she's the divine mother. And, you know, Paula sits there with a straight face as they're doing this, as they're making these claims about her. Yeah, she's taking it all in.
And want to make you proud. Have awesome privilege to discuss the value of a spiritual mother as it pertains to Pastor Paula. And so a parent is divine as one that begets or brings forth offspring, or a person who brings up and cares for another, and that's what we have embodied in Pastor Paula. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 through 3, is children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, and that you may live long on the earth. Colossians 3, verse 20 says, children, obey your parents in all things. And when it's talking about all things here, it's talking about all things that are consistent with the law of God and the gospel of Christ. For this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Well-pleasing here means, and is a reason sufficient to engage to the performance of the duty. For whatever is grateful and well-pleasing to God ought to be done with pleasure by us, from a principle of love to Him, by faith in Him, and with a view to His glory. And then such an action is acceptable in His sight through Christ Jesus our Lord, because He, God, is the one who ultimately arms Pastor Paula with authority for our development. You may be seated. What we have to understand here, as we are honoring Pastor, a spiritual parent is responsible to make decisions necessary for our development, whether we agree or not. I am so glad that the decisions that Pastor Paula makes is not based on my emotions. It is based on the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that gives her those decisions, because sometimes we don't agree all the time because our feelings and our emotions will try to make us want something prematurely or try to get something. But thank God we have a spiritual mother that knows when to activate, when to pull back, when to move us into certain seasons, when to withhold. Amen? Because ultimately it is for our development. Now, her primary focus is not just to be our friend, even though she is. But the primary focus for her to prepare us for our destinies and our God-given purposes. Because I've learned that our capacity as spiritual children is determined by the caliber of leader that she is. Amen? And so our ability or power to do, experience, or understand is based on the quality of her character and the level of her ability. So her process in life can save us time. Certain things that she goes through can save us time. Now, I understand that principle very well, just like it is for my son. Based on what she goes through, I may never have to go through that because she already paid that price. Amen? And so the spiritual world rules the physical world. Say, the spiritual world rules the physical world. Another way to put it is spiritual things are more important or takes precedent over natural things in terms of priority. Spiritual things influence natural things. That's so important because she is our spiritual mother, and she is incubating us, carrying us in the spirit world, and nurturing us, and ultimately will birth us into greatness. That is so important because the things and the principles of God that she is teaching us, if we can grasp hold of it and receive it, it will eventually influence our natural world. If we take the principles on trusting God, standing by faith, and apply those principles, which are spiritual, that she's downloading to us, it will influence our lives. If we take the principles of how to be a godly husband, a godly wife, it will influence and produce natural results in our families. Can you say amen? And understanding that, that is a big responsibility. How many here feel that there's greatness in their life? So think about this for a second. The greatness that God downloaded into you, as great as he has shown it to you, he packaged all that greatness up and he put it inside of Pastor to incubate it, to carry it, to nurture it, and to ultimately give it birth. That is a big responsibility. Where some of you guys will birth companies, some of you guys will birth dreams and visions that are great, that will last for generations after generation. As big as that is, God packaged all that up and he put it inside a pastor to carry it, to incubate it, to nurture it, and ultimately to give it birth. This is why I admonish you guys all the time to pray for her, because And I texted her one time, thank you, because when you came, you secured our destiny. You secured our destiny. I know Doug said in the last service too, and not to copy what Doug said, but the reality of it is, for our generation coming up, we have to look forward. Our generation looks by a reference point. That's kind of how we are. We see somebody in the parking lot with a nice car, we'll chase them down and go, excuse me, what do you do? Okay, how did you get there? Okay, so let me get this straight. If I do this, that, I can produce this result. And when it comes to the body of Christ, when it comes to the kingdom, young adults primarily are looking for examples to say that that's authentic.
Now, I know that was hard to believe, wasn't it? She's incubating us. She's incubating us. Yeah, and then notice that she laid down her life. Yeah, she laid down her life for them. And I think there's only one person that did that. I don't think it was Paula. And then, she's saying that the young people learn by example. Yeah, they learn by example. Yeah. What about the example that Paula and her husband set one Sunday when Paula's husband told people to watch pornography? He told people to watch pornography so that they could have a better marriage. Yeah, so that was a good example for the young people. They're drinking too much Kool-Aid over there at that church, drinking too much Kool-Aid. Now, that's pretty sad, isn't it? That's pretty sad that that was coming from a grown man who's married and has children. And then he's talking about that. It's hard to believe. Isn't it hard to believe that we're living in the 20th century? We're living in a day where everybody has a Bible in their house, so we're supposed to be reading it, and yet people are being held captive by these so-called ministers of Satan. That's who they are. Because they talk about God, but the God that they serve is the God of this world. It's not the Lord Jesus Christ. There would be no way on earth that I would ever let anybody talk about me like that. Never. Or any my friends or the people that I know and most of the people that listen to this program, there would be no way that we would be sitting in a congregation like that and we would let somebody talk to us like that. That we wouldn't get up and run for our life out of that place. But that's the world that we live in, is that I was talking to somebody today about getting their life right with God and they were telling me that they're going to go talk to a priest, and I said, well, what's the priest going to tell you? He doesn't know himself because he thinks Jesus lives in a wafer. And you have over a billion people on this planet today that actually believe that Jesus lives in a wafer. So we have a long way to go, don't we? We have a very long way to go to evangelize the world. And people talk about this end time revival, but I don't see much of a revival. I see more confusion now than I've ever seen. And so we really have a job on our hands. When I was telling this person about Jesus living in the wafer, and they're telling me, well, read your Bible. Yeah, okay, I didn't know that God wanted us to be cannibals, like we're supposed to eat Jesus. And then Jesus himself, he divides himself all over the world into millions of little bits, and he comes down and he comes into these wafers. It's beyond belief, isn't it? It's beyond belief, but yet you have a billion or more people that believe these kind of things. And to think about the things that have happened over the many hundreds of years since the Bible has been printed in a language where people could read it, and yet people don't read it, and they just accept the word of some human being, where they would actually subject themselves to a person like Paula White and sit in a congregation there. Grown men dressed in suits, professional people, educated people, and they would sit there and they would listen to someone say that she's our mother and she incubates us. I don't think so. You know, there's something wrong with that picture. There's something wrong with that picture. There's something wrong with a so-called leader that would sit there with a straight face and allow people to talk about them like that. There's got to be something wrong with you. You're not living in the real world. You're not thinking with a straight mind when you allow these kind of things to happen. So we have our work cut out for us in the days that we live in. It's like the Bible says, for truly the days are evil. And we need to pray that God's will would be done for the people that he puts up and the people that he takes down, the leaders of the government, because they have the right. And in the United Kingdom and in Canada and in many other countries, this kind of speech that we have today on this program and other programs out on the internet, especially where we have free speech, they would call it hate speech. They would call it hate speech. And we would probably have some kind of a hate crime thing against us for telling us that we're preaching hate. So what is God going to allow us to go through? It's only a matter of time before our rights are taken away from us as far as our free speech. And there was some, I didn't really investigate the story. There was a story last week about the internet being handed over to the United Nations or something. There's something happening with the internet, and it's going to affect free speech. It's very important what people hear, and you can see how the news media will be try to manipulate people to get to believe a certain thing by repeating the thing over and over and over again. And that was a famous phrase of the Nazis and of Hitler, was to repeat something. I think they said to repeat it for 21 days or to keep repeating it and keep repeating it and keep repeating it, because if you keep saying it enough, people will believe it. And so that's how the word of God is, though. That's the word of God. If we keep repeating the word of God and we keep ourselves full of the word of God, then we're not going to be deceived, because we're going to be able to discern good from evil. And we'll be able to know who's right and who's wrong. And so we need to make the word of God our guidebook like never before. How we need the Lord in these days that we're living in. And God only knows what we're going to have to go through. We know that we're going to have to go through some things. Jesus promised in his word, he said, you know, we were going to have tribulation in this life. Nobody wants to go through it, though. And if we can try to do something to prevent it, hopefully we can try to do something. But anyway, we need to pray and to seek the Lord about the direction, especially that he's going to take this United States of America and our democracy and our freedoms. We'll see what happens, right? And also in the church, where Jesus Christ said that he died to make us free, to give us our freedom. And then we have these leaders, these abusive spiritual leaders coming and trying to take advantage of the freedoms that Jesus Christ has given us to take people back into bondage, merely for financial gain is what it's all about. It's mainly about the greed and the money and the control. It's a funny thing when people get a little bit of power, what it could do to them. So sometimes power is a dangerous thing in the wrong hands. If we don't realize that all of us, without Christ, where would we be? We're only something because of him. That's the only reason we live and move and have our being is because of Jesus Christ and his finished work on the cross and the fact that he forgave us of our sins. He forgave us for our past, and we have a brand new life. And we have peace, and we have joy, and we have all those things that only comes from knowing Jesus Christ. So for my listeners today that don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, ask Jesus to come into your life. He said in his word, this is not someone made up. It says in the gospel, the 3rd chapter of John, that ye must be born again. So first you're born of your mother, and then you must be born again of the Spirit of God. And that is your decision. You have to make that decision for yourself. Nobody can make it for you. You must confess your sins. And he is able and just to forgive you of your sins and give you a brand new life and to wipe the slate clean for you. Who can do that for you? Only Jesus can do that for you. He died on the cross for your sins. He rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and he's sitting at the right hand of the Father. And he said that he is coming again. We will see him again in all his glory. And heaven is a real place. It's not just a fairy tale. Heaven is a real place. It's a city. And Jesus lives there. He's there now, sitting at the right hand of the Father. So he said, where I go, I will prepare a place for you, and you can go there also. That's a promise for each and every one of you. And you can make that decision. It's an easy decision to make, to choose life instead of death. Life everlasting, that you can know and have that peace of mind to know where you're going when you die. I know where I'm going when I leave this earth. I know that I'm going to heaven and I'm going to be with the Lord forever. So that same thing you can know too. And it's a wonderful life knowing Jesus. It's the best life in the world. I wouldn't trade it for all the money, all the gold and silver. I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. Amen. So don't forget to tune in next week. And Jackie Alnor is going to be with us next week. We're going to talk a little bit about the New Age movement and some of the things that are happening around the world, some world news, and some of the things that are happening with the church. So don't forget to be with us next week, okay? So God bless you, and thank you everybody in the chat room that stopped by today and all the people, the listeners on the phone. And don't forget my website, propheticnews.com, and my YouTube channel, Susan Puzio, and my book, if you're looking for a great gift to give your friends that are in the Word of Faith movement or in the Seed Faith movement. The book is available on Amazon, on Barnes & Noble, and on Lulu. There's also the Kindle version on Amazon, and the book is Seed Faith, Can a Man Bribe God? How False Teachers Manipulate and Hypnotize You for Offerings. So God bless you all, and thank you. Bye-bye.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. And someday I'll be in heaven, there'll be no sorrow there.